Hey everyone, welcome back to another exciting episode of Tackle Trial. I'm your host, Sal, and today we have a fantastic topic to explore. But before we dive in, let me introduce Victor. Hey, how's it going, Victor?
It's good, Sal. I'm really happy to be here to discuss the fascinating world of legal tech, especially with this lens on document creation with AI and NLP.
Oh yeah, I know once more our audience is in for a treat, but first, if you enjoy our tech discussions, remember to hit the subscribe button so you won't miss any future discussions. Let's get into the road and dive into the episode today. So today, we are once more delving into the technologies transforming the legal industry. We've been talking about that for a while. And today, once more, we're talking about AI and NLP. We'll explore how they streamline document creation, ensuring accuracy, boosting efficiency. And of course, I have Victor, my guru here, to give me a little bit more of his input. What's your take on AI and NLP and the impact on legal tech, Victor?
Well, Sal, over like the last 15 to 20 years that I've been working in like the world of AI, specifically in NLP and legal tech, I've seen and witnessed firsthand how those technologies have revolutionized the way we create and manage legal documents. I remember some of the early AI companies coming out with stuff for legal tech, and I was like just floored by it. And now that we have a product, it makes it even more. So Apigee Suite has been at the forefront of these innovations over the last several months to a couple of years. And now it's truly incredible to see how all of this is transforming the industry broadly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. That's kind of impressive. Like if you think that they were talking about months of advancements, like things that in the past 2 years for us to see now, like in a couple of months, to see something like a breakthrough, something completely new. So let's start, for example, with the AI powered document assembling. Okay. So like I was reading the other day, this article from TechLog magazine from Sarah Johnson, and she was mentioning that these AI powered kind of a assembly can cut document creation in by around like 80%. It's like we've been talking about that. It's like a super kind of assistant just by its side.
It is. Yeah. Imagine you're like a independent law practitioner, whatever very like variable of law or industry of law you're in, but you can't afford to have a team of students or interns even, or even paralegals, right? So what do you do? Yeah. You need to find scale for yourself in some way because you can't clone that I know yet. Maybe you can. I don't know.
Maybe so, like, really watching in 2030. Yeah. And then,
like, what do you mean you can't clone? I clone now. I'm cloned here and here and here. No, but like realistically, what these tools have done is they allow you to analyze existing legal documents, extract relevant content, and suggest clauses. That saves lawyers a bunch of time. What we've done is even one step further. It's not just saving them time on the things you're writing. It's giving you the ability to do research and base your writing on that research. So shove in a ton of documents, understand all of them, get real deep context of what your case or what you want to create as a document, and then use that context for your document. So that's like the next level that we're all getting to now.
I mean, like that's the winning combo. Eh? Like time savings is, of course, the asset. We were talking about that before we started the show today. And but now time savings plus accuracy, this is a whole kind of a new landscape for kind of a law practitioner and so on. Like, for example, American Bar Association, the reports highlights how firms using AI document review tools, they get like 30% fewer errors, for example. Like it will change the game drastically.
Absolutely. I mean, if you want a little anecdotal evidence of this, I won't name the lawyers for my prior company, but I mean, you could probably look them up in all this, but we paid them a lot of money to get the standard corporate law agreements that you get when you start a company. And they all came to us templated with other people's names on them. So those are errors that are like really going to hurt us because we're obviously redlining and correcting things, but you're at a place where it's just like, that looks really poor in terms of delivery as a firm when somebody's paying you a lot of money for something, right? So as you can imagine, though, like we're now in a place where AI, like the AI that we have in Apigee Suite, continuously learns from data inputs and adapts to changing regulations, ensuring compliance and minimizing costly mistakes, even like egg in your face mistakes like we just talked about right now.
Yeah, that's not only for law firms, but also the legal departments within certain
Absolutely.
firms, like particularly those highly regulated ones like pharma and
Oh,
so on,
yeah.
or companies dealing with the government. They're going to feel the pressure to deliver a more accurate, more kind of a basically better
Yeah, imagine
process.
all of the financial companies that have to deal with the FTC, SEC, FTC,
Oh
all these
my
other three
God.
acronym letters. You have to write the proper documents in the proper format. So if you're new, you're not going to understand these formats.
Oh
So
yeah.
you need Apigee Suite or something like this.
I got crypto in my mind right now. There
SDF
you go.
in
But I mean, moving to this whole contract management, like I was just talking about, the ways that contracts are not only drafted but revealed these days are really gonna change. And that's not only for from the point of the company that drafts and sends the agreement, but also from the standpoint of the consumer who could potentially have a super reviewer by their
That's right.
side, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, Sal. I mean, one thing that we're quietly, and I guess we can announce this on the podcast, but it's a feature that's coming out real soon, is the automatic document or contract or agreement review that basically just gives you the red lines that you would have for any kind of contracts. You're looking at our AI-driven tools will help extract the critical information that's required from these contracts, and it'll speed up your review process manyfold. Industry numbers say somewhere around 70%. So that gives the ability to lawyers to focus on strategic tasks and make better decisions rather than spending all their time with a red pen, or I mean, it's no longer a pen, but yes, Microsoft Word open and suggestions on.
I remember, like back in the days, the little like a pen on the right side of the screen. Like, hey,
Oh,
how
the
can I
paper
help
clip,
you? Like, yeah, the
Clippy.
paper clip. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
So
sort of what we are, but we're much better than
that's
Clippy.
gonna be the next level Clippy, I guess. But I mean, like, there's still, like, of course, certain barriers, like particularly language wise, for example. Like, if you have like global companies sending, like Netflix, for example, like that, a global presence company sending agreements all over and so on, the way of cutting time and improving efficiency in translation should be drastic, eh?
Absolutely, Sal. I mean, you sort of want a system, and this isn't just strictly AI, but you sort of want a system that's going to understand the things you tell it or the things you give it. And systems that use the proper types of AI and machine translation, like ours do, give you the ability to ensure seamless communication and collaboration across borders. They do this by accurately translating legal texts and preserving context. So you might imagine that the English language and the Portuguese language, because we both speak it, are drastically different, both in the way you lay it out and the way that things are said. I mean, one is very Latin, one is like Germanic and Anglo, right? So
Yeah.
you're in a place where legal texts will be very different if we're talking about the same legal agreement with intent in Brazil as the same legal agreement with intent in the US. So we're looking at, it's the same kind of idea as to why these have been written. But if you just do straight translation without understanding legal text, you're in a place where things are going to come out kind of like gobbledygook. It's not really going to work. So you need proper AI to do this kind of work for you.
Yeah. And I mean, like, that brings us to probably one less big topic, which is the challenges on ethical considerations, particularly on the legal domain. Like, there is an Algorithmic Accountability Act, which aims to regulate AI systems to prevent the biases and enhance transparency. But that's probably a broader kind of a topic that we have around AI in general, from self-driving cars to essentially legal research and drafting documents. Like, what's your take on it?
Well, it's absolutely crucial to think about this as the adoption curve in AI happens. And the regulators who would put these sort of like real laws, or I mean, they're laws in place, they're usually years behind. But when they start catching up, it hits you in the face really hard. So you have to be in a place where you know how to navigate the ethical challenges. And you establish proper and responsible AI practices, especially in the legal field where everything is very deliberately obtuse, but also very specific to what you need. So the language is extremely specific, and it matters a lot whether you say something in a plural tense as opposed to a passive tense or anything like that, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's and the decision is also highly sensitive, and in most cases, like you have something that impacts someone else's lives or the
Exactly.
livelihood or anything like that. I think one important point you just mentioned is someone who is essentially controlling or determining the law being years behind of like with every
Yes.
technological advance comes the risk. And if people do not understand the risks, how would they put together a regulation around that? So the
Absolutely.
challenges are huge, and the repercussions are also, I'll say, like highly sensitive. But
Yep.
for us to wrap up the episode today, which I think like it's a great discussion, and we're gonna have that like many, many times ahead of us. What would you say, like what's next on what you've been working on, and the stuff that we can expect to see around the news?
Well, internally we're working on more authoring stuff, so it's taking the context of your legal documents, topics, the way that you want to consider your context. So if you're a law firm that works on client files, you can put them as client files and that's your context. But you can kind of like merge contexts along because you may start to think, oh, well, there's this case that I thought of from the past that makes a lot of sense. So when doing your search within the document world at Apogee Suite, you may find some things that relate to your case, and then you may want to include them as context. That gives you a much deeper and broader understanding. It's not only precedent, but it's again, it's just like further ideas, ideation as to how to defend or how to prosecute something, right? So that gives a wonderful, wonderful idea or a wonderful way forward. And one thing that we've read recently in the news, since we're just talking briefly about news, is that it's very likely that OpenAI slash ChatGPT is in the midst of being sued, and it could be not really sued out of existence, but sued back to prehistoric times, where you're looking at all the people who made copyrighted content. So, like newspapers or everything that's not Wikipedia, basically, is saying, I'm going to join this class action lawsuit because OpenAI took all of our work, created something from it. And when they were a nonprofit, that was okay because they were using it for like a fair share kind of thing. But now that they're 100% for profit and they're largely partnered or owned by Microsoft, we're suing you. So a lot of companies, yeah, like New York Times is actually at the New York Times is at the forefront of this. So if they start suing OpenAI for this, OpenAI may have to drop ChatGPT altogether and start over and find non-copyright materials. So it'll make it for a much worse experience. So that may come up, and all the companies who solely rely on OpenAI and ChatGPT, which is every one of our competitors, is going to be in for like a big bitch slap, basically, because they're going to lose the ability to be anything AI at this point.
Watch out, folks.
Yeah.
Scenes for the next chapters here. I think like we have a very good wrap up here, like the power of AI and NLP in legal tech. Well, and it is already transforming, but will revolutionize the industry for sure. Thanks, Victor, for your insights.
Absolutely, Sal. My pleasure. It's been a fantastic discussion.
Yeah, and to all of you, don't forget to hit subscribe, and for you don't miss the next episodes. Until next time, stay curious, keep exploring the world of tech. See you soon.
Bye, guys.